Museums and federally funded institutions in the U.S. are now required to go through their collections of artifacts and report anything that might belong to Native American tribes. A small theological school in Newton has found about 125 such artifacts, and some Native Americans from Alaska are claiming they're the rightful owners of some of them. This morning, WBUR's Andrea Shea reports on the object of greatest interest. It's known as the halibut hook.
We would stomp our feet and go, hoo, 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 hoo.
David Katzik sings like tribal fishermen have for centuries as they lower a V-shaped, ornately carved wooden bone hook into the water.
They would be warning and letting the halibut know that it was coming down to do battle with them. On Kuk-tish-la-kow, you're going to fight with this. It's going to fight with you.
Katzik leads the Thunderbird clan in southeast Alaska. He says the halibut hook is a treasured ceremonial and spiritual object that's devoted to helping honor the fish's sacrifice.
The other name of the halibut hook is Nahu.
Now, Katzik and the Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian tribes are fighting to reclaim the halibut hook they believe is theirs. But it's not in Alaska. It's in Massachusetts. The hook is in the collection of the Andover-Newton Theological School, the oldest graduate seminary in the U.S. The Alaskan tribes didn't know where this halibut hook was until last year. That's when they learned the financially struggling school might sell or transfer some 125 Native American artifacts as it weighed the future of its campus. The collection, along with the halibut hook, has been stored at the Peabody Essex Museum in Salem for decades.
This halibut hook, which has carved clan figures on it, is quite distinctive. A just straightforward functional halibut hook has quite a different form.
Peabody Essex Museum Director Dan Monroe sits in his office with a photograph of the halibut hook in his hands. He says the story of how an object like this hook might go back to Alaska from Massachusetts reveals the complexities of a legal process that repatriates potentially sacred artifacts.
The level of pain surrounding these issues is hard for many people to understand, but it's very real.
Monroe knows the dark history behind that pain. His museum holds the largest collection of Native American artifacts in the Northern Hemisphere. Monroe talks about missionaries who fanned out across the U.S. in the late 1800s and 1900s to convert Native Americans. With westward expansion, he also says people feared Indian culture would be eradicated.
There had already been tremendous displacement of Native people through disease, warfare, forced removal from their tribal lands. So there was this fear of the vanishing red man, which was the way that this was characterized. Consequently, not only missionaries, but natural history museums began an intensive period of collecting Native American material.
The whole history of Indian policy in this country is painful.
Melanie O'Brien is the program manager at the U.S. Department of the Interior for NAGPRA, the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act.
NAGPRA was enacted to try to help fix some of those painful pasts.
Since 1990, NAGPRA has required museums and federally funded institutions to submit lists of human remains and sacred or cultural objects. Hundreds of tribes can review the lists and can make claims to their cultural heritage. Staff at the Andover-Newton Theological School say it didn't fully understand its responsibility to NAGPRA, which came to light when it briefly explored the sale or transfer of its Native American collection. The U.S. Department of the Interior alerted the school that it needed to comply with the law and is helping people there navigate the repatriation process.
It's a daunting responsibility, and I'm not an expert. I'm a theologian by training, so this is new territory for me.
That's Nancy Nienhaus, a dean at the theological school. Now it's also her job to document dozens of artifacts and ultimately contact tribes. It's like sleuthing, Nienhaus says, because the histories behind many of the objects, including the halibut hook, are hard to trace. It is known that a Presbyterian missionary collected five of the objects in the 1830s. Others were gifts from alumni. Niehaus says paperwork and information has been lost over time.
It's not like a movie, you know, where you get to see that story unfold. We don't know who the original donor was. We don't know if they're the ones that received the object originally. Did someone give it to them? Are they the daughter or son of someone? Without knowing exactly how things came to us, it's very difficult to be able to tell the story of any particular object.
Piecing those stories together takes a long time. NAGPRA manager Melanie O'Brien says that while the repatriation process is rigorous and intentionally slow,
I don't think that Congress envisioned it would take quite so long to resolve the rights to all of these cultural items. I'm not sure that Congress realized how many were in the possession or control of museums and federal agencies.
O'Brien says ownership rights to more than 1.6 million Native American cultural items, human remains, and funerary objects have been resolved since 1990. But like the halibut hook, thousands are still unresolved.
Some of the clans haven't had their, what we call, at'u, their clan ceremonial objects, and they haven't been able to participate in our ceremonies.
Rosita Wuerl is president of the nonprofit Sea Alaska Heritage Institute in Juneau. She's been working with the clan leaders there on their claim to the ceremonial halibut hook. Wuerl is Tlingit and says when sacred objects are repatriated, the healing reaches beyond a single tribe.
It's brought museums and tribes together. We have better working relationships. I also think that it's contributed to the knowledge about the belief systems and spirituality around the objects.
Wuerl used to be on NAGPRA's review committee and says the 25-year-old law isn't perfect. Barriers include a lack of funding and the amount of time and money tribes, museums, and institutions spend on the repatriation process. Next week, the NAGPRA review committee will ask Congress for more support. Meanwhile, Rosita Wuerl hopes the unfolding story of the halibut hook's fate raises awareness for other institutions that might not know what they have in their collections. For 90.9 WBUR and The Artery, I'm Andrea Shea.
Wait, the